Welcome to the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
It's Indiana.
Watford for the win! Yes! Yes! Unbelievable!
Your daily home for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
Welcome to Indiana basketball.
Smart takes the shot! Oh, and the Hoosiers with 3 seconds. Go ahead.
Indiana wins the championship. Keith Smart is the hero.
When my time on Earth is gone and my activities here are past, I want they bury me upside down and my critics can kiss my...
Now here's your host, Matt Dennison.
It's Indiana. What I feel is the pinnacle, the absolute pinnacle of all of college basketball.
And hello, welcome in. It's a Monday edition of the Hoosier Report, live and underway here on the Big X Sports Radio. Glad to have you with us today. And I got to admit to you, I'm a little shocked about some news that came out just earlier this morning. John Beilein is going to leave Michigan and head to the NBA as the next coach of the Cleveland Cavaliers. I know it's not anything directly associated with IU or anything locally, but when you think about the Big Ten basketball landscape, the program that Michigan is, the coach that John Beilein is, not just at Michigan, but in stops before that, it's really an unbelievable loss for Michigan, obviously, an unbelievable loss for the Big Ten Conference as far as what I think is a great mix right now of elder statesman-type coaches like Izzo and Beilein and younger guys that are on the rise. A number of those guys as well, including some new additions into the conference in this offseason as well. Most of all, as a guy that's just a big college basketball fan that thinks that's the best thing going today, you hate to see another quality coach that's done things the right way, that by all accounts has followed the rules, that coaches a style of basketball that's fun to watch but also organized and structured. You hate to see a guy like him get away from the college game and go to the NBA. Brad Stevens and Billy Donovan were always two of my favorites, and I think a lot of people's favorites. Even if you weren't a Butler fan or a Florida fan, you liked those guys and how they did business. You liked everything from their game plans to their presence on the sideline to how they handle themselves with the media. And those are the kind of guys you hate to see get away. And it's interesting because Rick Bozich of WDRB last week just wrote a column that I meant to talk about. I just never got to it. About now that Stevens had kind of a lackluster season when the Celtics, some thought, might have a chance to make the NBA Finals this year and didn't come close to it, really. You know, he's kind of facing a little bit of heat. Could he return to college basketball in the next few years? And Billy Donovan, things are different now in Oklahoma City than what they were when he first arrived. Could he eventually make his way back to the college game as well? Obviously, Billy Donovan's name was surrounded by the IU job. All kind of people wanted him. There were some rumors that, you know, there had been some phone calls made or potentially some interest. Obviously, none of that came out to be factual. But nonetheless, you hate to see another good one get away. And Coach Beilein, whether you love Michigan or hate Michigan as an IU fan, he's one of the very, very good ones. So we'll talk about that some today, how it affects the conference, how it affects IU, who Michigan goes to next. It's kind of an interesting time for coaching searches. Most of the college coaches' searches that I can think of, if not all of the mid-major and even high-major jobs, are filled, and those movements have taken place. There's always a late retirement or somebody gets in trouble or just, you know, whatever could happen there. So it's not unheard of to have an opening in the middle of May, but this is the time when normally, outside of NBA movement up and down and the combine coming up later this week, that you're kind of getting settled in for your off-season workouts, because here coming up, it used to be later this month with the deadline when players had to declare either, yes, I'm going to stay in the draft, or no, I'm going to not get an agent and come back. Obviously, it's different this year. You can go all the way to the draft. So it'll be late June until some of these programs know for sure, when June used to be a big month where you kind of had your roster intact and you could really begin off-season stuff and workouts with a lot of players coming back to campus after a little break in May when they got to go home. So interesting. Is it good for IU that Coach Beilein isn't there? Probably would be my initial reaction. But Michigan's I mean, they're a legit program. I mean, look at their success recently. Look, and not just recently, but over a number of years now under him. Look at their facilities. They're a well-funded athletic department. I would say that they will be on the rise or will catch somebody on the rise in the college game. I would be surprised if they don't make a pretty big hire here. I could be wrong, but I would say given the timing and given that most everything else has calmed down, I think that they'll be able to go after some big names. We'll see, but very interesting kind of an off-season storyline to follow. Again, it doesn't directly touch IU or affect IU, but it does distantly because of the conference connection, and just it's interesting. It's a connecting state. It's a state Indiana often battles, a college Indiana often battles for recruits, especially those recruits from Indianapolis to the northern part of the state and in that Michiana type territory. So interesting move for sure. Did not see that one coming on Monday morning, but we'll talk a little bit more about it coming up and throughout the program today. I know it's going to be something that we'll follow from a distance here on the program as Michigan gets into a search, I would say, pretty soon. And I would believe that they would try to make something happen here in the next week and a half to 2 weeks at the very maximum, given the time of year it is and given that there's not much other movement where there's other guys going after other jobs as well. So going to be interesting to see. We'll talk about that a little bit later. We'll get into some other headlines here in the first segment as well. Our Hoosier headlines, our news of the day on IU and Southern Indiana sports. Later in the program, segment two, always on Monday, Zach Osterman of the Indianapolis Star is with us. We'll talk, I'm sure, more about Coach Beilein with Zach. He's very familiar with Michigan and Coach Beilein and his program. And also, IU baseball had a big weekend. They actually won the series, a 2-1, two wins, one loss to Michigan in a three-game road series. Michigan's at the top of the conference, so IU tightens up their race. They're number two in the conference right now. Big weekend for IU baseball as they get ready for a game, I think Tuesday night against Louisville in Bloomington, definitely this week. And then, of course, the Big Ten tournament. It's not too far down the line as well. It's been a very, very good year for IU baseball. Gabe Bierman, by the way, he was the winner in one of those games, the Jeffersonville product. He was a winner in one of those games, I think the Saturday game for IU against Michigan. And if my memory's correct, I don't have the results pulled up in front of me, but I think the game that IU lost yesterday, the third of three games, was like a one-run loss, if I remember correctly. So IU baseball is playing well at the right time. They've had a great season, really, from start to finish. A little rough early, but they sure have recovered when it mattered in some of these Big Ten series, and I think are looking really good with some postseason hopes, no question about that. We'll do that with Zach later in the program. Chad Gilbert, Charlestown's athletic director and an IHSA executive board member, he joins us on Mondays as well. We always talk local headlines and local sports stories with Chad when he joins us, and we're going to start with Chad. He hired a new basketball coach that's been approved officially last Thursday night. Sean Smith will leave Providence after just one season. He'll take over at Charlestown. He used to be at Charlestown and actually had a really solid career there. I always felt like when Sean left Charlestown to go to West Washington, where he would go on to have some success. In fact, he reached the semi-state the last year he was at West Washington before moving to Providence. But I never felt like Sean got the credit that he deserved for success at Charlestown. He had some real postseason success in his first stint there. And so it's interesting to see him return back to Charlestown. We'll talk that with Chad. We'll talk some other things with Chad, local stuff, basketball stuff as well with Chad when he joins us later today as well. That's the guest lineup. It's a service of Honey Baked Ham in New Albany. Mention the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison, and you'll receive $1 off your box lunch at Honey Baked Ham in New Albany. A couple headlines here. A lot of this is going to be about Coach Beilein leaving Michigan. Interesting, and that Jeff Rabjohns tweeted this, and I believe I've read this elsewhere as well, but connections in basketball to land a job, whether you're Coach Beilein at the top of the college game or whether you're in business at A company or B company, whatever it may be, there's always connections when a job goes down. For the most part, there's some connections that take place. And I saw Jeff tweet this earlier today, right after the Coach Beilein to the NBA news became official or broke. Cleveland Cavaliers assistant GM Mike Gansey played for John Beilein at West Virginia, then went on to be a G League GM and has long believed what Beilein ran at Michigan would work in the NBA. So interesting that there's always some sort of connection. And then just before we came on today, Coach Beilein tweeting this out on his Twitter account to Michigan fans, quote, "Thanks to everyone at the University of Michigan for their incredible support these last 12 years." Man, I didn't realize he had been there 12 years. He's had a tremendous run. He continues, "Our fans, alums, leaders, players, and students are amazing. It has been a heck of a ride, and I hope you enjoyed our teams and staff as much as I did. Go Blue forever." And again, that was Coach Beilein addressing Michigan fans in his departure to the NBA. So interesting times as well. He's 66 years old. And again, I know some people probably think it's a great move, and maybe he will go on to be the college coach that has the most NBA success. I have no idea, or maybe he won't, but I just hate to lose a really good coach and a really good person from the college basketball game as well. So a couple other things to pass along: Hoosier Hills Conference tournament last week in baseball, in some other sports as well. And how about Jeffersonville baseball? They are playing really, really well right now. Jeffersonville with a 11-1 win over Bedford North Lawrence to win the Hoosier Hills Conference tournament by 10 runs, or 10-run rule. So it was a shortened game. So big stuff for Jeff baseball, and it's kind of a good primer for them and all teams this week with the sectional getting ready to take place here in a couple weeks. And for Jeffersonville, probably the most impressive thing is it was their fourth consecutive Hoosier Hills Conference championship. That's really, really big stuff for the Red Devils. And great pitching for Gavin Siebold, the winning pitcher in that Hoosier Hills Conference championship game. He improves to 7 wins and just 2 losses on the season. He was really, really dynamite on Friday night in that championship game. But a big confidence boost for Jeffersonville. New Albany and Floyd Central played in the third place game. New Albany got the best of Floyd Central, which was surprising. After the first time they played, Floyd won in a shootout. I think it was like a 9-8 score. Maybe even been in double digits. I can't remember, but it was a high scoring game, and not a lot of runs separated the win for Floyd Central in that regular season game. Opposite this time, I think New Albany with an 8-1 advantage in that third place, that consolation game of the Hoosier Hills tournament on Friday night as well. It makes it even more confusing for the sectional when you try to think ahead about the 4A section. I mean, a lot of the sectionals, it's pretty clear cut. I mean, Providence and Silver Creek are the best 2 and 3A, you think, on paper, but Charlestown's had a great year, so who knows what can happen. But I think there's a little bit more of a clear cut path there on what should happen. The 4A sectional, it's hard to figure out. Jeff and New Albany play out of the gate in the bye game. And, of course, when they played in the regular season, New Albany beat Jeff with a 10-run rule, I think, in effect, late in that game, which is crazy. It was New Albany just jumped all over Jeffersonville. Then New Albany gets beat by Bedford earlier in the Hoosier Hills Conference tournament, 15-8. And a few days later, Jeffersonville, who lost to New Albany in the regular season, 10-run rules Bedford. So it's been crazy, and there are other examples with New Albany and Jeff and Floyd Central if you want to compare local scores and games that make you think, huh, this is a head-scratcher as far as who's going to win. But I'd say New Albany or Jeffersonville, whoever comes out of that bye game, has a great opportunity to win that sectional that's going to be played at Bedford. But then you've got Floyd Central on the other side. You've got Bedford on the other side of those brackets. Those teams could play in the semifinals. So I think very likely you'll get either Jeff or New Albany against a Bedford or against a Floyd Central for the championship game. And again, it's baseball. Pitching is everything. It all depends on who's available and how tough some of the games leading up to that championship are, what pitching they have to burn and not burn. It's going to be interesting to see what happens. And the good news is, if you can't make the trip to Bedford for the sectional, we'll be there. WXVW will have live coverage of all of those games. That's a look at the headlines for this Monday edition of the program. We'll head to a commercial break. We'll come back with Zach Osterman of the Indianapolis Star. We'll talk IU basketball, IU baseball. We'll talk Coach Beilein to Michigan. And then Chad Gilbert joins us later in the program right here on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
We're back on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison. Join Matt daily at 11 a.m. and 3 p.m. for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
I'll handle this the way I want to handle it now that I'm here. You f***ed it up to begin with. Now just sit there or leave. I don't give a f*** what you do. Now, back to the game.
Here's Matt Dennison.
And we're back. Zach Osterman of the Indianapolis Star, always with us in this segment on Monday to talk IU basketball and IU sports. But we got to start with Michigan. Coach Beilein to the NBA. Did it catch you off guard as much as it did me this morning when that news broke?
I think it did initially, and then I thought about a lot of kind of the buzz around his sort of flirtation last year. I think it was with the Pistons, and you know, I think just the broader sense that maybe you know, he really did. There really was some appeal in John Beilein's mind for looking at the NBA, potentially, you know, giving the NBA a real kind of go as a career option. And you know, it's strange in the sense that you feel like he's kind of walking out just when things are really, I don't say humming, but you know, that obviously things are going very, very well for him at Michigan. And, you know, I think he kind of put himself in a position to, I don't want to say call all of his own shots, but just, you know, just be very comfortable at the University of Michigan. But at the same time, I also think, you know, again, that's not an itch that you get to scratch a lot if you're a college coach, or if you're a coach that's come up through the college ranks. If you really genuinely are interested in going to the NBA, especially if you're someone John Beilein's age, he's in his 60s, he's not done by any means, but you know, it's not like he can just kind of count the years all rolled out ahead of him either. Maybe it shouldn't have surprised me as much as it did, if that makes sense.
Yeah, absolutely. Talking with Zach Osterman of the Indianapolis Star, I don't know where you fall on this. I'll be curious what your opinion is, because I'm a college basketball guy. I'm not from Indianapolis, a couple hours away. Love basketball at all levels. I'll watch the NBA Finals and definitely have kept a much closer eye on the playoffs now that they're underway in professional basketball. But I simply hate, whether it's a rival of Indiana's in the Big Ten Conference and it could help Indiana that Coach Beilein is not the coach there, I have no idea. I guess it depends on who they get and what they're able to do and continue. You were saying this thing's just really, really beginning to get great at Michigan. No question about that. But I hate to see great coaches that seem to do things the right way, from what we know, Coach Beilein, Brad Stevens, Billy Donovan, those are a few that come to mind that I talked about some in the first segment today. I hate to see them get away from the college game, because I think they make the college game that much better as coaches and that much more interesting to follow as good people and well-spoken people and people with good presence that have great X's and O's schemes and are well done in what they do. So from that perspective, I'm a little sad. I hate to see Beilein get out of the Big Ten Conference, which I thought had a great mix and still does of young coaches that are trying to prove themselves, that have been hot names elsewhere, and veteran type coaches like Izzo. And I was putting Beilein in that group now. I didn't realize he had been there 12 years, but I hate to see him get away from the college game, I guess is what I'm saying.
Yeah. I mean, I can understand that. I think, you know, sometimes I think you can lose sight of just how difficult the college game can be, you know, for coaches. I mean, it's, and not that the NBA is a cakewalk, but with recruiting calendars and schedules and, you know, dealing with all the kind of the nuances of roster construction and things like that, without necessarily always the benefit of, you know, a front office team and that sort of thing that can, you know, maybe help with your scouting and stuff. I know a lot of people, for example, really derided the Arizona State football model when they hired Herm Edwards, and the whole idea was basically they were going to run it like an NFL franchise. And it was like, well, I can actually kind of see a little bit of the point of that, because it does feel sometimes like maybe college coaches, especially in the most high profile sports, are a little bit under manned or under-supported, and that sounds wild to say in this era of extra staffing and all these different things, but you also just think of how much is demanded of their time and you know, the nights on the road and the recruiting demands and all these different things. And it just kind of, I can understand the appeal of maybe wanting to go to a place where it's much more about just the day-to-day of basketball. How do you build a system? How do you teach? How do you grow fundamentally? How do you, you know, really make all the pieces fit together in a roster? And you know, there are coaches who are born to be college head coaches. There are coaches who are born to be NBA head coaches. There are coaches who can do either one. I generally tend to think that, well, obviously John Beilein is walking into what at least right now stands as a difficult situation in Cleveland. I think he can be successful at that level. I do think he can be, because I think he's just a very, very good basketball mind. And there'll be somebody else that pops up. You know, that there will be another coach that steps in, maybe if not at Michigan, then somewhere else for John Beilein, and we'll be talking about all the things they bring to the game and the way that they innovate certain things and you know, grow whatever conference and program they coach in. So, I mean, I can generally agree with the idea that it's not really good for anybody when you're losing, you know, talented coaches. But by the same token, I think that I can understand why someone like John Beilein would maybe want to make this move.
Talking with Zach Osterman of the Indianapolis Star. Zach is always with us on Mondays. I'm sure that this is out here somewhere in the digital world that we live in, because if it was going on in Indiana right now, you would probably be one of the guys putting an early list together that would have the best chance of some accuracy in this crazy world of coaching changes. But any thoughts on, I don't even know if, you know, specific names at this point, but don't you agree, or don't you feel like that Michigan is in a really good place to, even at this later date for a coaching change in the middle of May, don't you feel like they're at a program that's at a really good juncture right now where they can get somebody really good to replace him?
Yeah, I think so. And you know, it's a weird time to be hiring a head coach. But at the same time, I think, as Ohio State proved a couple of years ago, if you do it right, it can be a good time, because you have the whole market to yourself, because it's not like there are three different jobs open and they want to play, you know, one off the others. And, you know, and you are in a situation where maybe you're having to, you know, woo somebody while trying to make sure that somebody isn't, you know, being wooed by somebody else, if that makes sense. You know, it's also convenient, at least in a sense, because if there is the possibility of luring somebody like Billy Donovan back from the NBA to the college ranks, you know, this is exactly the time that you would want to be kind of contacting that person, trying to coordinate with that person and really trying to kind of push in that direction. Whereas if let's say this job comes open at the end of the NCAA tournament, and you want to do that, well, then you're going to have to sit there and wait for a long time. And there's, at least in terms of perception, if not reality as well, there's a lot of risk that can come attached to that. So I think I think Michigan's in a great spot to make this hire. I don't know that you know, that never necessarily guarantees that it will be a good hire. I've seen plenty of programs that I thought were in good spots and made what turned out to be really bad hires. But I also think that where Michigan's at, what John Beilein's done with that program in the last few years, the amount of money flowing through that department, the relationship with Nike, you know, the idea that I think John Beilein proved, if we needed any proof, that you can go to Michigan and not just kind of be one of the best of the rest in the Big Ten, but genuinely one of the teams, one of the programs that sets the terms annually in the Big Ten, you know, sort of title race. I think that Michigan's in a great spot to make a hire here.
Yeah, I agree. Zach Osterman with the Indianapolis Star. Zach is our guest today. Let's switch gears. I want to stay with some IU baseball that we talked about in the first segment today before we had you with us. 2-1, their record over the weekend against Michigan, who's at the top of the Big Ten as far as baseball goes right now. I think Gabe Bierman was one of the winning pitchers. Correct me if I'm wrong, but I think he had a really solid performance over the weekend for Indiana. Of course, he's a local boy to us down here from Jeffersonville. But Indiana baseball, things really clicking, really going well as they approach the final days of the regular season, including a big game, a fun game, this week with the University of Louisville. It'll be played in Bloomington.
Yeah, I mean, it was almost a perfect weekend, and not just in terms of winning all three games, but actually moving back into first place in the Big Ten. If they lost in extra innings on Sunday, if they'd won, they would have moved up to first by a half game. And it's kind of a weird situation because it's probably going to stay at that half game the rest of the way because Michigan had a game canceled earlier in the season that it didn't make up, and so they've played one game less than Indiana. As it stands, it was a really good weekend, and I think it does bring the Big Ten race back into balance a little bit. It's still, because Michigan had the advantage going in, Michigan's still a game and a half up with only three games remaining. But if you're Indiana, I mean, number one, that series is going to help with your RPI. It's you know, I mean, that's basically in conference probably your best chance to bolster your RPI in a weekend series, you know, at Michigan, and they take full advantage. They make up for the disappointment of dropping the series at Illinois the weekend before. They do give themselves a chance. I think we talked about this last week, but it's worth pointing out Michigan closes at Nebraska. That's not an easy place to go. Nebraska's having a good season, and you know, those people are some of the most passionate college baseball fans in the conference. While Indiana's at home against the Rutgers team, it's right around 500 in the league. It's not, you know, I think whenever you say Rutgers in virtually any sport to a Big Ten fan, they kind of roll their eyes. This isn't a Rutgers team that's necessarily terrible, but it is a Rutgers team that you would favor Indiana to be able to get some results against this weekend. And if you're talking about that next to Michigan having to go to Nebraska, if you're Indiana, you're thinking, hey, if we just take care of our business at home, then we see what happens out in Lincoln, and maybe we have a chance to overtake Michigan for the regular season title and maybe keep that hope of hosting a regional alive. But I think more than anything else, it's just a suggestion, you know, if you are Jeff Mercer, if you're this team, if you're looking for reasons to kind of believe that if this team doesn't host a regional but goes, you know, on the road somewhere as like a two seed, that it can get results. Well, it just, you know, it's the first team all season that's taken a series from Michigan at Michigan. And that, you know, to me, that strongly suggests that this is a team that can go on the road and get some results and can go on the road and win in the NCAA tournament if it has to. Hitting home runs, but also good pitching, timely hitting, clutch hitting, all those different things. And so it was a really good weekend. It could have been a better weekend if Indiana had managed to sneak out the win on Sunday, and they would come back with their Big Ten title hopes completely in their own hands. But I think it's just, especially after the losses to Kentucky and then losing the series 1-2 at Illinois, I think it's just a good way for Indiana to kind of rebounding heading into the regular season's final week.
Absolutely. And, of course, a fun game this week with U of L, a little battle between the two locals that have had some really good baseball in both of those programs. And, of course, a number of players currently, but more so in recent history at both programs from our immediate area where we are originating from here in the Jeffersonville, New Albany area that have come from these programs to play. I mentioned Gabe Bierman as well. He's one of those guys playing at Indiana right now. So it's going to be a lot of fun this week, and I've said this a few times here lately. I feel like we really turn our attention more so to IU baseball in the spring this time of year when they're in that home stretch, and it's definitely going to be fun to follow and see how they finish in the Big Ten and what they're able to do with some postseason baseball, which is, I just think, an awesome format in college baseball. I know we're skipping around a little bit today, Zach, but I do want to get to some basketball stuff outside of Coach Beilein leaving Michigan. Friday, NCAA Rules Committee, they proposed moving the distance of the three-point line, which is currently 20 feet and 9 inches, to the international distance, which is 22 feet. 22 feet just over 22 feet. Help me. Do you recall? I don't know the exact.
I know. I think I saw it. And
22
then
and
I checked out for the weekend.
3/4 of an inch or something like that. It's not a round measurement by any means, but nonetheless, that was the line that was on the assembly hall court during the NIT. If fans are wondering, you know, NIT always has those different rules, test rules, you could call them. Your thoughts on that, and maybe some of the reasons that the committee is considering matching the 3-point line at the international distance at this time?
Yeah, I mean, I'll be honest, I don't know that I have a hard and fast opinion. And Friday, I was kind of thinking so much about the Lester Quinones decision that I wasn't thinking about much else. But it strikes me. You hear a lot of people say, "Well, we don't want college basketball to become the NBA," and I appreciate that sentiment. I heard an argument. I think that was one of the prevailing arguments, really, when they shortened the shot clock the last time. But at the same time, I also have a lot of time for the argument that college basketball, at least in no small part, serves to get kids ready for the NBA, and if not for the NBA or the G League, then for opportunities that they might come into overseas. And if that's the case, then I don't think it's bad to be examining these kinds of rule changes that maybe would allow people to kids to test themselves a little bit more regularly against the kinds of rules they'd find at the professional level. I also just generally think that you know, there's plenty of cases where you can find kids wanting to take NBA range threes and longer threes anyway. As we talk more about court spacing, we talk more about the value of players that can step out, you know, not just like inches behind the 3-point line, but can genuinely really, really stretch defenses and pull opposing defenders away from the paint and from away from kind of inside the arc. I don't know. To me, it just feels like sort of a natural next evolution, and I'm not saying that I think college basketball should just sort of, you know, pick up and move itself all the way to all different sorts of NBA level rules in terms of length of the shot clock, you know, 3-point line, width of the lane, timeout moves the ball to half court inside 2 minutes, all that kind of stuff. But I do think that it's okay for college basketball to look at the NBA and more broadly just look at the professional game and say, okay, how do we emulate this in such a way that it really creates a comparable experience, I guess you'd say, for our players. And so I think if that's the intent and that's kind of where it can take everyone, then I don't think it's a bad thing.
Zach Osterman, the Indianapolis Star, our guest. Zach, I want to let you go. I do have one quick thing to bring up. I've had a tweet that I promised I would ask you because I'm not exactly sure. When a coach leaves, like Coach Beilein leaving Michigan, are players free to transfer, or am I dreaming that?
This is one of those things that, to my knowledge, is still more in kind of conceptual stages. There have been for years pushes to say if a coach leaves, players should be allowed to transfer without penalty. Players should be automatically released from their letter of intent, et cetera, and so forth. Right now, at least, again, unless something has changed without my being aware of it, which I don't think it has, that's still up to the schools. Now, I would say that prevailing sort of public opinion has led more and more schools to say, you know, for example, that, you know, say to recruits, you're free from your letter of intent, but we hope that you will let the new coach re-recruit you once they come in. Sort of the way that Indiana handled that 2017 class that had signed for Tom Crean, where all three of those players, you know, were essentially allowed to reopen things. And I don't know how many of them formally were released from their letters of intent before they recommitted, but they would have been, according to Indiana, if they hadn't recommitted. And I also think that the NCAA has typically started taking a more favorable view of players who might transfer out of a program after a coach has left. So in terms of, you know, if somebody leaves under those circumstances, the NCAA, I think, typically has started being more lenient about saying, you know, well, that person can go ahead and have immediate eligibility. Again, there have been pushes in recent years to sort of codify that stuff and make it more hard and fast rule and less just kind of, you know, case-by-case theory. But I don't know that that's actually, again, unless something has happened and I'm not aware of it, that hasn't been, like, written into legislation, though I wouldn't be surprised if at some point it was.
Gotcha. Zach Osterman, the Indianapolis Star. Zach, as always, very appreciative of your time. Thanks so much for coming on to chat with us today.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me.
All right, Zach Osterman, IU insider for the Indianapolis Star. What a great way to start the week. He can cover a lot of ground, and it's great to have with us on the program each Monday in this segment. We'll head to a commercial break. When we come back, Chad Gilbert, Charlestown's athletic director, who just hired a new basketball coach, also an IHSA executive board member. He will be with us. We'll talk through some local headlines and some basketball stuff as well when Chad is with us. That's coming up next right here on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
We're back on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
Let's win this one for all the small schools who never had a chance to get here.
Join Matt daily at 11 a.m. and 3 p.m. for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
Let's win for Coach. You got us here.
Here's Matt Dennison.
And we're back. Chad Gilbert, Charlestown's athletic director and an IHSA executive board member. He's with us on Mondays to talk a lot of local things, and we also talk a lot of basketball as well. It's just who we are. Chad Gilbert, you hired a new basketball coach at Charlestown that was finally approved or made official, I should say, Thursday when the school board met. And Sean Smith, who really had a nice tenure at Charlestown, his first go-around, is making his way back to be the leader of the Pirates basketball program.
Well, it's another type of new coach, old coach. So we're happy to get Sean back. Sean was here for 1 year. He, my first year here, he spent 9 years total before he was here, but got to know Sean the 1 year, and I thought he did an outstanding job. I thought Sean, you know, we're looking for a high-character guy, someone who could get it done in the classroom as well on the court, someone who brings a lot of integrity and brings just being a good person to our program. Sean was familiar with the do's and don'ts of Charlestown, that some of the pitfalls that maybe he ran across before, that he gets a chance to an opportunity to reinvent himself. So we're excited for Sean to come back. You know, he's won regional at West Washington, had a lot of success up there, was at Providence last year. And he, coming in, I think he's got a lot of stuff to work with. And I think he's going to be excited about when he gets here. We've got great facilities. He's got his staff he's going to implement. He's busy, you know, because he's trying to wrap stuff up over at Providence. But for him to come in, I feel like that was the best hire that we could have made in this point. And as an AD, hiring coaches is not fun because you got to go out and you got to search and see what's available. Then you get guys to come in. You interview the guys that that have applied for your position, and they do a great job in the interviews. And the hard part is it's like cut day. The hardest part about coaching is cut day and the last game of the season. And that's the same thing when you're hiring a coach. You hope that you hire the right person who's the right fit at the right time.
Talking with Chad Gilbert here on a Monday edition of the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison. I've got to believe there have been some other coaching things approved, but just kind of at that time of year, June summer ball's coming with the high school teams, so you got to get somebody in place. So it's a lot of stuff hitting school boards and becoming official here over the last couple weeks. But you bring an interesting perspective that we don't always get when we talk to a media member or an active coach right now, the coach of administrator or the role of administrator, the role of athletic director. I've got to believe when you're in that board meeting, and the vote goes, especially a unanimous vote to hire a coach in any sport, you know the importance of having coaches in place, good ones in place specifically. I gotta imagine that just a little sigh of relief goes through you when that approval's made and you've worked through what can sometimes be a very contentious process to settle on one coach and make the best decision for potentially a number of years in the future.
Well, the right coach is not only a person who leads that basketball team, but he leads your school. And he can set the tone from K through 12 all the way up. He or she can do that. And they've got an opportunity to do that when they come in. Put your fingerprints on everything. Be involved with everything. That takes a lot of work. That takes a lot of organization. That takes a lot of commitment. And we feel like Sean's going to do that when he comes in here. I think that's one of the things our community's hungry for. I think that's one of the things that our community is willing to put forward to do that, to get involved with our youth league. Coach Connell got our youth league going with Coach Pritchard. I think that we can take that to another level, and I think Sean will be able to talk to Coach Connell and talk a little bit about the team coming in, and Coach kind of give him a little bit of scouting report. But one thing I've talked to the kids is they get a chance to reinvent themselves as well. And so the guys that are returning, maybe there's some things they wish they would have done different. It's a clean slate when a new coach comes in. They get to come in, they get to do what they need to do to make evaluations. And that was one thing I told Sean is I'd try to recruit the whole school, get as many kids out there and just see what you can use and be honest with those kids. Because, you know, if a kid wants to play another sport, I remember when I took over at Jeff, you know, I tried to get some soccer kids. I tried to get some baseball kids. I tried to get Trent Estelle to come out. I said, just come out and give it a shot. I'll tell you where you're at. But you want to have those guys who are your leaders in your school out there with your team to mix in with the players that you have involved. But like you said, it's a sigh of relief, and it's something that I hope Sean can take and run with and do a great job and be a coach here for many, many, many years to come.
Chad Gilbert is my guest talking about new Charlestown coach Sean Smith, another new coach in the area. Sharon Wilkerson gets the Madison job. Former IU player, former Jeffersonville star, was at Shaw Memorial last year in Madison. So kind of interesting there that he was at the small private school in the same community where he'll now be taking over the big school, Madison, who traditionally has been a great place to be and great place to lead a basketball program. But more recently, it's been a lot tougher place to be at. We'll see what Sharon can get going there. He's a hard worker. He's a guy with a vision. Going to be interesting to see.
I think Sharon will do a great job out there. Sharon brings a lot of different aspects to the table. You know, you think about him as a high school player around here. You think about him playing in Indiana. Think about him finishing up at Rio Grande. But the one thing that people forget is his overseas experience. And I think that's something that's unique that you can bring to the table and run some different schemes at people that they don't always see at clinics or they don't pick up off of TV. And I think with him, he'll have a different perspective, a different eye on some things up there. And he's got some pretty good talent to work with. I think they've got good administration up there. And we hope, from a former Jeff coach, hope that he has nothing but the best. And we hope he wins a lot of games except for when he plays Charlestown.
And, of course, Madison now back in. I guess they were for a year, then they went out, but predominantly have not been in the Charlestown 3A sectional. But they're back in there now, which is another interesting note as well. That time of year for coaches, you want to get them in place. Summer ball's just ahead. But we can't get too far into the basketball stuff because we're in the heart of baseball season. And, again, it's nice when we can have you on and not only talk sports but start with something going on in your own community, because before we talk about baseball and the Hoosier Hills Conference Championship, which Jeff and Gavin Siebold just absolutely played great on Friday night, before we do that, your own Charlestown baseball team, they've become a real threat and a very formidable opponent, I think, in their own respect in 3A.
Well, Coach Romans does a good job. We've got a young – I shouldn't say a young pitching staff. We've got some sophomores and juniors that kind of round out our pitching staff that will all be returning next year that I think will make us even stronger next year. We've got some kids in the field that are pretty solid up the middle, solid in the corners, our outfield solid. Baseball's a crazy game. You can hit the ball right on the head, but you hit it right at somebody. And we've ran across that a couple of times this year. We dropped a couple of games this weekend in our Ricky Romans Senior Memorial Invite that I know Coach Romans is not happy with, but the good thing about baseball, he's back at it again tonight. So we're hoping to be playing our best going into the tournament. I think Coach Romans and the guys are anxious to be part of it.
and mention Hoosier Hills Conference baseball. Chad, are you sure you got time to do this interview? Your email box keeps dinging. I think you got about 30 to get to.
It's rain out in makeup. We're trying to get them in here at the end of the year, Matt. But, you talked about the Hoosier Hills. Special note, Gavin Seabold stepped up and did an outstanding job. He rose to the occasion on Friday night. One thing not to be thought, John, his dad, and I grew up together. And John, loved sports, loved playing it, loved watching it. Good in everything he did. He was someone that was fun to be around. And he's put in the work with Gavin. Not to take anything away from Corrine, his mom, too, because she was an excellent athlete in her own right. But that family has put in the work. They've traveled. They've worked in the yard. They've worked in the cages with those boys. And they deserve that because, like I said, John has sacrificed some of the things in his life in order for his two boys, Gavin and Grant, to be successful. And it was really good to see. I know John was excited, and I'm sure Gavin was, too, to see the fruits of their labor that they put in to Gavin and have him step up. And he's had an outstanding year this year, so I'm awfully proud of him.
Yeah, he makes, and along with some other pitchers in that Jeffersonville lineup who are all underclassmen is what Coach Ellis reminded me of Friday. That makes them, I think, very dangerous in the postseason and in sectional as things really coming together for their baseball team. Chad, speaking of your emails dinging and your office at Charlestown, I was reminded recently when I stopped in to visit you for a few minutes, you've got, I'll put every other athletic director in the state or in the area on the line here, you've got by far the coolest office that I've ever seen an administrator or an athletic director have in a school building. You've got it set up the right way, man. It's a good place. It's a sports place for sure.
Well, I appreciate it, man. We try to, Charlestown's been awful good to me up here. They try to help me out in anything they can. And, we try to set it up here where if kids come in, parents come in, they're comfortable. They know it, we're around sports. It's kind of got that Dan Patrick man cave look to it. And that's something that we're awfully proud of things up here, and we hope that the kids come here and they see some things and that can make them shoot for make them set some goals and shoot for some things in their life. And hopefully it'll pay off down the road at some point.
Chad, great to catch up. We'll talk with you again next week. A lot of stuff rolling out there. We'll get back into some basketball stuff as well. But as always, thanks for carving out a few minutes to talk with us Mondays here on the program.
I appreciate the run, Matt. Back to the emails. Thanks for everything you do, Southern Indiana.
Thank you, Chad. Chad Gilbert with us Mondays. We talk Southern Indiana sports headlines. And a good way to end the program each and every Monday here on the show. Just a couple things. I'll be with you every day this week except Friday. Lee Kelly is in for me on Friday. We've got high school baseball. I know a couple of you have asked when's our next game. We had fun doing the Hoosier Hills Conference Tournament next week. We're going to have some sectional coverage. We'll follow every game that New Albany, Jeff, and Floyd Central plays in the 4A sectional at Bedford. So it means we should be doing almost every game except for one of the first round games if things play out the way that we should. Also, we're probably going to get some reports and some call-in updates from the 3A sectional, which includes Providence and also obviously Silver Creek as well. That could be a battle when those two hook up, and I think it's probably inevitable that they will as well. So we'll try to get as much on as we can. Appreciate those of you that were with us Wednesday and Friday last week for our high school baseball coverage. Have a great week. I'll be back with you tomorrow at 11 o'clock. We'll have with us on Tuesday Greg Doyle and also our regular guest Mike Pegram. So stay with us for that right here on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.